Hi, this is a Personal Synthesis podcast. Today I have pleasure discussing self-awareness with the creator of Personal Synthesis, Dr. Nash Popovich. Hi, Nash, how are you?
I'm very well. Glad to be here.
Let me please start with one question about self-awareness. What is self-awareness? How would you describe self-awareness?
I think perhaps it would be better if I ask you that question. What do you think that self-awareness is, so that we can see if we are on the same page? When you say being aware of yourself, what does it include? Does it include being aware of what is on the computer screen, being aware of the weather?
No.
What exactly you mean by self-awareness?
I mean, be aware of your inner self, of your feelings, of your emotions, of everything that is happening inside you.
Oh, I see. I see everything that is happening inside us. And this is very, very interesting because there is a rich world inside us, as rich as the world outside. So you mentioned feelings and emotions, and also we have thoughts and dreams and desires and so on. And as you know, in your dream, you can actually create the whole world and other people, and even more than what you encounter in the world outside. So the richness of our inner world is staggering. And yet, we don't pay much attention to that. Not as much as to our mobile phones, right?
Of course. What is in front of us?
Yeah. And that's the same. That's the problem in a way, because self-awareness is the bedrock, the basis, the foundation of our personal development. Without actually being aware of what's going on inside, nothing you can do.
That's true. Now I want to ask you one question.
True.
What is the exactly the difference? I want to, our listeners know between self-awareness and self-knowledge.
It's a very good question. And there is a relatively simple answer to that. Self-awareness about what's happening to you at any particular moment. So basically, if I ask you now, Bobby, can you just turn the light inside and tell me what you are feeling, what you are thinking, what's happening in that world inside you right now? I'm asking you to engage with self-awareness. Self-knowledge is not about just what's happening at that particular moment, but take into account all these moments that you've been aware of and trying to create some sort of knowledge that may help you predict your future actions on the basis of your past experiences.
Oh.
So self-knowledge involves the past. Self-awareness is about the present.
Oh, interesting. Now, you mentioned that we are paying more attention to things that are outside and not so much the things that's happening inside us. From that, I have a conclusion that we are not that self-aware. Although self-awareness is very important, what I want to ask you, are there some ways to increase our self-awareness?
Oh, yes. There are many ways to, many techniques and ways to increase self-awareness. But you know what? There is no point in any of them unless you want to do it. And that means that we, first of all, need to understand why self-awareness is important, why we should spend more time on looking inward rather than just looking outside. Only then you will be motivated to use those interventions to increase your self-awareness. So I want to talk a little bit about that first, because without that motivation, there is no really point. So let's start from talking about why self-awareness matters. And I wonder if you can tell me from your personal experience, can you think about an example or any situation in which you believe that self-awareness was important, that helped you? We very often don't think about these things because we take self-awareness for granted. And I want to show that it's really important not to take it for granted and to explore your inner world, that we can get a lot out of it. So let's start with some examples.
I think you should be aware of yourself when hard times come. Some hard moments in our life. I don't know. I think then I remember self-awareness. Then I become aware of that inner world that's happening inside me, that things that happening inside me, because I know they come up to the surface when hard times come. You know, that is the moment when I become really aware of my inner world.
And you're not alone in that. Most of people become aware of their inner world only when that inner world screams for their attention. A typical example is you find yourself in some kind of difficult situation and you start feeling anxiety. Suddenly you become aware of anxiety. However, at that point, you don't know what to do with that, because you haven't thought about that before that anxiety came up. So I want to make a case here that actually we should try to increase our self-awareness and be self-aware before we find ourselves in difficult situations. And there are several reasons for that. The better that you know yourself, the more you can be in charge of your life. Think about self-awareness as a kind of landscape of your inner world. Brilliant. So imagine you find yourself in a land you know nothing about. You just somehow, you are transported while unconscious and dropped in some sort of a country or a part of the earth you've never been to. So you're likely to feel lost. But the more you learn about that land, the better you can navigate through it. And most of people feel lost when they look inside. For them, it's a foreign land. It is really important to start exploring that land if we want to be able to navigate through it. Okay.
Now that you mentioned that, maybe people sometimes run away from that inner world. They're trying to do this, to fill up their day with thousands of things so they wouldn't have to go into their inner world.
Yes, absolutely. And there are several reasons for that. One reason is because particularly when you're at the beginning of that journey, you may find it overwhelming. As you said, there are a lot of things that are going on there. I mentioned at the beginning, it's as rich as the world outside. And you're kind of on your own. There is nobody you can bring in that inner world of yours. And you have to explore that on your own. And this can be a bit daunting for people. But the more you do it, the more comfortable you feel with that. The other reason is that sometimes people don't like or they fear that they won't like what they will find there. They imagine that there are all sorts of gremlins inside their minds. And sometimes it is true. There may be things that we are not pleased with. In order to preserve our self-esteem, we tend to create a false images of ourselves, they seem to be more pleasing than what is really inside us. However, that doesn't work, because sooner or later, that sort of self-created image clashes with reality. I'm sure you met people like that who are talking about themselves in kind of way that everybody around them knows that it's not true. And they just are not doing themselves a favor.
Yeah. And that's, I think it's sometimes very dangerous because they will need to cope with that inner world, and that will be overwhelming for them.
Yes, absolutely. Because these things that we are running away from, they don't disappear. You know, we can run away from maybe an attacker or big dog or something like that. In the world outside, but not in the world inside, because there is nowhere to run. In fact, the more you're running away, the bigger these things that we are scared of or don't like become.
Yes.
So we have to face them. We have to face them. There is no other way. And I just want to add to that, that sometimes it can even save our lives. I can tell you a little story from my own experience long, long, long time ago. I was meeting somebody that was very dear to me, and I spotted that person on the other side of the road. Now, I wanted to get there and greet them and hug them as soon as possible. And I started crossing the road. The car was approaching. But I started crossing the road anyway, and at that point, I just said to myself, no, stop. Let the car pass, because I'm not judging the distance very well. And indeed, what happened? Actually, the car came to the spot where I was standing quicker than I expected.
Oh.
And who knows, if I didn't have that moment of self-awareness, maybe I would have ended up in the hospital that day rather than actually meeting that person that I really wanted to meet. Yes. So, you know, self-awareness can be really useful in any moment of our life. We don't know, not just when we are upset and when some things go wrong and things like that. It could happen that this actually can virtually save your life in any moment.
Yeah, so that's very true. But I want to ask you, we said in our introduction to personal synthesis that self-awareness is foundation of every other personal synthesis topic.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to briefly repeat why self-awareness is so important, not just for us, but for every other area of personal synthesis.
Yeah. It's the first area in the personal synthesis model because it's the foundation for every other topic that we cover there. And that's simply, again, because without knowing what is there, you can hardly do anything about that. So, for example, if you want to improve your car or improve your computer and or anything else, you first of all need to learn about it. You need to know how it works. You need to know what is there already before you start tinkering, before you start making some changes and things like that. This applies to our mind too. And as you, I want now to maybe mention a few techniques that can help us increase our self-awareness. And as you asked me earlier on,
please.
I know that we are all struggling with time. And so you want to do something that doesn't take too much of your time. Introspection or self-observation doesn't take much extra time at all. It simply means that you stop and pay attention occasionally to what is going on inside you. So it's just, you know, rather than getting worked up or upset or nervous or impatient when you're waiting for a lift or waiting to cross the road or waiting in a queue, just for a moment, just turn that spotlight inside and see, okay, what's going on inside me right now? What I'm thinking about? What I'm feeling about? What else is happening? Maybe I have some desires, fantasies. Try to become aware of that. Maybe a few times a day. The other good technique is keeping a diary. A diary is important for self-awareness, but it's very important for self-knowledge, because diary can give us an insight into not only what's happening in this particular moment, but what had happened in the past. Because if you can go back and read about these things, and then that can help you recognize certain patterns that otherwise you wouldn't be aware of. The other thing, the other very useful thing, why is that important?
Because, just want to ask you that. Yes.
Yes. It is important because we actually are not very good to recognize long-term patterns. So you may be aware of what's happening today, let's say feeling irritated, but you may never find why you're feeling like that unless you try to see the pattern behind. I had a client who had a very good life, marriage, two children, everything fine, but she would get irritated and lash out at people in unpredictable occasions and situations. So what I asked her to do is to write a diary and write everything that happened before, just before those episodes. Anything that she was thinking, doing, anything that was going on.
Yeah.
It took only something like less than 2 weeks, if I remember well, to recognize that actually she had a food allergy that manifested itself as irritation.
Irritation.
Irritation, and she started feeling irritated because she was not aware that she's allergic to that type of food, and because she was not sure what's happening inside, she got a bit anxious, and then she started getting in a bad mood. Without that diary, we could have had years of therapy. It wouldn't get us anywhere. Self-disclosure is also a good technique where you talk to somebody about things that go on inside you and so on and so on. Now, you may say like, okay, but what do I do with that deception? How do I know?
Yeah.
That I'm not deceiving myself. We all want to feel good about ourselves, and we tend to deceive ourselves. There is a way of addressing that. And as with other things in life, if you want to be objective, you need to take some distance. So if you want to be objective about yourself, you also need to take some distance. And one way of doing that is imagining that you're watching yourself in the cinema. So you create the distance between you sitting in a cinema, an observer, and you going through a particular situation in order to be more objective about that. So let's say you had an argument with a person that is really important to you. Now you think, I'm right. She's wrong. Everything I said is fine and makes sense, and she's completely wrong. Okay. Now, what I suggest in this situation that you can do, imagine that this event, that argument with that person, you're watching this event in the cinema. So that actually you have the equal distance from that person and yourself. Both of you become like almost like actors in that play that you observe from kind of outside. That will give you much better, much more objective picture of what's going on.
Thank you, Nash. This was a great talk about self-awareness. We're going to continue next week with our next chapter. And everything that our listeners want to read about self-awareness, they can read at personalsynthesis.com, our website. Thank you again, sir. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. See you next time.